listening to No Boundaries with Javier De Santis. Well, you done me and you bet I felt
it. I tried to beat you, but you're so hot that I melted. Hello and welcome to a brand new show here in the Radio UMH. My name is Javier De Santis and I'm going to be the host of No Boundaries. But before we start, just a quick reminder. This show is going to be broadcasted in English. What does it mean? Well, basically it means that if you're already familiarized with the language, you will just feel like home and you will be able to follow every single answer our guests have to offer. However, if English is not your second language, this is indeed the perfect opportunity for you to learn a little bit more just by listening to the fantastic stories that are going to be told here in this particular show. So, welcome again. Bienvenidos, señoras y señoras, a este programa No Boundaries. Voy a haceros pequeños resúmenes en español de vez en cuando de las respuestas que nos puedan ofrecer los invitados que vengan a nuestro programa. Pero el programa, la parte íntegra del programa va a ser totalmente en inglés, así que si sabes ya, si tienes un buen nivel de inglés, vas a poder escuchar absolutamente todo, lo entenderás y podrás sentirte como en casa, te podrás poner cómodo, podrás escuchar un poquito de inglés media horita. Pero si tu nivel de inglés no es del todo alto, estás ahora empezando a aprender este gran e importante idioma, justamente yo pienso que esta es la perfecta oportunidad para ti, para que te hagas un poquito con el oído, para que busques un poquito esas palabras que quizá faltan en el vocabulario. Y sobre todo para que escuches, eso es lo importante, que escuches el idioma y se vaya clavando, ¿no?, en el cerebro. Entonces, de momento, cambiaré otra vez a inglés y os haré pequeños resúmenes en español. So, today we have the honor, obviously, to present you the story about a German girl who decided to study abroad. Hello and welcome to your new home, Kristin. Who are you?
Hello, I'm Kristin. I'm from Germany and I'm studying media science, and here I try to study audiovisual communication and periodismo in a master. So yeah, that's quite interesting as my level of Spanish isn't that good, to be honest, but I like it so far, yeah.
Okay, I like it. Thank you, Kristin, for being here. But before we keep on with the interview, I do have a very, very important message to announce. The healthcare provided in the province of Alicante need every single day 250 liters of blood in order to save people's lives. If you weigh more than 50 kilograms and you are over 18, you can donate blood. Just inform yourself where the next hospital is, and yes, you can save a life.
UMH Saludable y el Centro de Transfusiones de la Comunidad Valenciana están preparando la primera maratón de donación de sangre de este curso. Será los días 22 y 23 de octubre en el campus de Elche de la Universidad Miguel Hernández. Los donantes recibirán un obsequio y descuentos para el cine. Para más información, consulta la web umhsaludable.umh.es. No lo pienses y colabora. Donar sangre da vida. Vale la pena una vez más saber que se puede.
And we are back on track. So, Kristin, now about you. How is your life back in Germany? I've been
trying to do I study most of the time, and I used to work in a shop as a seller.
What shop?
TK Maxx.
TK Maxx, wow.
I don't think you have that.
No,
we
don't have that here in Spain, no.
But it's really popular in UK and USA, so if you want a shop, good clothes, cheap, you go there, because we have all the designer brands.
Yes, that sounds like publicity, though.
Yes.
So, family, any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have three siblings, two brothers, one sister, and my sister is actually 42, so I have three nephews as well.
Wow, that's a big family. That's not normal, right, in the north? I mean, in the south, we have so bigger families and stuff, but...
It depends. I mean, my parents are obviously a little bit older.
Yeah.
So in my generation, it's más o menos.
Más o menos, wow.
It's more or less common, but like now, normally 1.3 children per family, I think.
Wow, so you have even the stats. So in which city do you live in Germany?
I study in Bonn. Mm-hmm. Before that, I've studied in Siegen, so I've spent there 3 years. And I was born in Münster till I was 13, and Münster is really a lovely place. If you
why?
Ever go
why?
To Germany...
Sell us Münster. Why is Münster so beautiful?
Because it's like... The size is 250,000, so it's not that big.
Uh-huh.
But it has everything, like cultural, and it's historical, so it's really nice, beautiful
wow.
places, a lot of trees and beautiful buildings. And if you love cycling, you should definitely go there because it's the city of bikes in Germany. There are
it's like a little Amsterdam, right?
It's more, I think.
It's more
they
even
have
than
more
Amsterdam.
Bikes than in Amsterdam, I guess, because it's like famous for bikes.
Wow, that's so cool. So, how do you go to the university when you live there? I mean, or to the school? Do you use public transport or you go by car? Or in this case,
I don't have car.
or in this case, by bike.
Yeah, in Siegen you can't go by bike because it's really, the university is up on the mountain, so no.
So it's difficult.
No, I use public transport like most of the students in Germany do. Unless they live really close, so then I would walk, but that's too far away from me.
That's too far away. So you told me that you were studying in Germany, you were studying, how do you call it there?
Media science.
Media science. So what's the main differences between what you are seeing here and what you are studying over there? I mean, because the name is not the same, and I suppose the program is different as well.
Yes, definitely different. In Germany, it's more theoretically at the university. So here it's like half practical, half theory, or even more practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that because in Germany, we only have the theory. I mean, in my master course, we look at medias, new medias, and the impact of them. Like, we study Twitter. Twitter is really big at my university.
So you just go in class and you study the theory of Twitter?
No,
my
professors do research for Twitter.
Oh,
so they
Twitter researcher.
Analyze data and everything.
That's a new job.
Yeah, it's really kind of up to date. So we have a lot of stuff in English as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the common research or the new research is in English. But we have classes, for example, like wearables. I had a class about wearables, so about the iPhone watch and like other really cool stuff you can have. So, but at first I was like, what's wearables? And actually, I still don't really know.
Okay. You just said you have classes in English as well over there. More than here? How do you see the difference between English, studying in English over there and studying in English here?
Yeah, that's a difficult question because my bachelor degree was actually half in English as well as an English bachelor degree, so I can't really answer that. But I think there are more courses in English because people tend to speak better English, obviously.
Yes, that's the thing. That's why I was actually asking the questions.
And our professors do speak English, like everyone.
Bueno, pues Kristi nos acaba de contar cómo vive ella allí en Alemania. Ha ido en diferentes ciudades, ha estado en Münster, ha estado en Bonn. Nos ha contado sobre Münster y nos ha recomendado que vayamos allí, que es una de las ciudades que, según ella, que solo utilizan bicicletas, que prácticamente no hay ningún coche. Bastante interesante también. Podríamos aplicarnos este cuento también aquí en España. Luego nos ha comentado las diferencias entre los estudios allí, ¿no? Hay muchos más estudios que se hacen en inglés. También hay muchísima más teoría que aquí. Pero por otra parte esa teoría lo aplican a nuevas tecnologías, lo aplican a buscar, a investigar sobre todo sobre cosas en el futuro, ¿no? No se quedan atrás y son muy constantes en ese sentido. Vamos a preguntarle ahora un poquito cómo ha visto ella el cambio aquí al venir a Elche y qué se llevaría aquí de nuestra tierra. So, are you happy with the way the teachers give their classes here in Spain?
Yes, I mean, I like that it's practical. So, and the practical stuff I get, although my Spanish isn't that good, because they show it and then I can just look at it. I would love to have Photoshop in English, though.
Photoshop in English?
Yeah, because it's all Spanish. I mean, if I work with the programs in Germany at my university, it's all English.
It is.
Because that's like the normal language for...
it's the normal language for professionals. That's true. Well, you can actually change the language,
no,
right?
No, you can't.
You can't?
Yeah, no, you have to download the language package.
Uh-huh.
So, and I don't think I can do that on the computer
here. So. Okay, what do you miss about your life in Germany and about the university in Germany?
I had a lot more free time in Germany. And I like the breaks because in Germany I know the classes start at 15:15. Then there are 1.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Then I have a half an hour break. At least before the next class starts.
Okay, and here we start and we end just through.
Yeah. So that was really weird for me. 4 hours without a break. I was like, seriously?
You do have less hours here than
no, not
than
really.
In Germany. No?
Because in Germany, one class is 1 hour, 1.5 hours normally
mm-hmm.
per week. So I have 5 subjects, 5 appointments per week. So that's it.
Okay, okay.
So in Germany, I normally have 1 or 2 days university, or 3 if I not manage it right.
and then that's it, right? And then
yeah.
That's it. Okay, you decided to spend your year here. Now, my question is, why Elche?
Because a friend of mine was actually doing her Erasmus in Alicante, and she was telling me about it, how great it was. So I was like, okay, maybe let's go there. And then I looked it up, and I had to decide between Tenerife and Elche.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, Tenerife sounds more like my study at home, like very theoretical, like all the theory stuff. And I was
uh-huh.
like, okay, I already know that, and it's not that interesting. So I want to be more practical, so that's why I decided for Elche, actually.
Did you know about the place before you came here? Or did you have to look it up and then you see maybe some pictures and then you say yes, no, I decide?
Yeah, as I said, my friend told me about it. So
you didn't knew that Elche even existed before your friend told you that?
No. Alicante, yes. Elche, probably no.
Okay,
I don't think so.
Okay,
it's not that
okay.
popular unless you're interested in palm trees.
Let's go to the university stuff here. Do you feel yourself integrated in the university here in Elche?
I mean, the international office is really helpful and really nice. So,
mm-hmm.
And I heard that it's not common that the people there speak English, because I spoke to some other Erasmus people from other universities. And so I'm really happy that they do. Because I know one girl from Murcia, and she only gets replies like, no entiendo. And she even tries to speak to write in Spanish, and then
yeah.
she translates in English
yeah.
because so there are no mistakes, misunderstandings. But yeah,
oh
so
dear.
I'm happy with that.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
that's a good point.
What would you change here if you had the opportunity?
I would try to integrate classes in English, at least one per course,
mm-hmm.
so that international students have at least one course where they can go and speak English, so they're sure, okay, I'm gonna pass this one. So, yeah.
In English, practically. Bueno, pues Christine nos ha estado contando cómo ve la universidad aquí, con por qué decidió la ciudad de Elche en vez de otras al decidir dónde iba a seguir sus estudios. Le contó una amiga sobre que había estado por aquí por la zona de Alicante y que les había encantado la provincia. Entonces ella pues se miró un poquito y al final decidió venir. Nos ha contado también que lo único que cambiaría aquí de la universidad es el tema del inglés, que todavía no está totalmente integrado el lenguaje y que sí que haría algún que otra clase en inglés, sobre todo en los grados, para que los alumnos también puedan optar a no solamente aprender el idioma básico, sino a trabajar con él, cómo utilizarlo, ese vocabulario a nivel profesional que muchas veces falta, ¿no? Está muy contenta con las salidas profesionales que se ejercen por aquí, ¿no? Y la ayuda también, sobre todo la ayuda que se le ofrece al estudiante a qué hacer cuando termine sus estudios. Vamos a preguntarle ahora un poquito sobre la cultura española, a ver qué piensa sobre todo. Sí, me entiende en español, ¿eh? En español me entiende. Vamos a preguntarle un poquito sobre la cultura, a ver qué le parece y qué cambios ve entre la cultura alemana y la española. So, what are the main differences between living in Germany and living here in Spain? Living. I'm not speaking about the culture yet. I'm just speaking about the living part.
I think I'm not normal because I'm Erasmus, so that's different from
okay.
normal living here. But I think, like, the rhythm
mm-hmm.
is different. In Germany, you get up at 7, then you go to work at 8, 9 maybe, but normally 8, and then you get home at 6. And that's it. And here you have the siesta.
The siesta. This is very important, the siesta.
And you want to go to buy something and everything is closed?
Yeah. They open at 5 normally, yeah.
So they need that siesta. It's really weird.
It's weird, yeah.
So they have like a whole different schedule. They eat at 10. I would never eat at 10 o'clock.
I know, you would do the Abendbrot at 6, I guess.
No, not that early. I'm a student.
Okay, you're a student, so you eat what, at 7 maybe?
Eight.
Yeah, but you don't have dinner at 10. I totally understand that. If you had to describe Spanish culture in just one phrase, what would it be?
One phrase is difficult.
I know. Okay, I do like a little resume in Spanish for what you just said, and then you think about that phrase in Spanish. I want to know it. And I know it's hard. Bueno, pues Cristi nos está contando qué diferencias ves en vivir allí en Alemania, viviendo aquí en España, ¿no? Lo que echa mucho de menos, sobre todo, es que cuando a las 4 desea comprar algo, no puede, porque los españoles necesitamos esa siesta obligatoria, entonces, pues cerramos por las tardes, ¿no? Lo bueno es que luego a las 8 necesitas cualquier cosa y sí que está abierto y sí que la puedes coger allí, todo cierra a las 6. Ella igualmente, todo el cambio, lo que viene siendo el cambio que ha hecho entre las comidas, etcétera, se ha tenido que adaptar. Ella solía cenar a las 8 y dice que aquí cenamos a las 10 y que lo hacemos todo muchísimo más tarde, ¿no? Pero que está contenta y que ve bien. Le he preguntado si me puede definir la cultura española en una frase y vamos a ver si puede o no, que sé que es complicado.
I would say Spanish people enjoy life more. Like, they're really open and mostly happy. I think. But I guess that's the weather.
That's the sun. Okay, I guess. Okay.
So, yeah.
Just a random question out of the script. I noticed that whenever I hear or see Erasmus people or people that studying abroad, then they're studying here. Most of them are women. Are men afraid of studying abroad, or?
I think there's actually a statistic that there are more men going abroad.
So how is that then in Elche? how is that then in Elche? I just see. No, or maybe.
That's because of your
media.
Field of study.
Okay, so because my field of study is. Do you think it's just?
I mean, my master course consists out of 53 people. There are 3 men.
See, that's why. Do you think men don't like communication, media, and stuff?
I don't know, because at my bachelor degree it was like half-half.
Half-half, yeah.
So, and I don't know what happened to the master course, why there are no men. I mean, I studied literature in my bachelor, so
yeah.
Obviously there are more women.
Okay, it makes culture. A point. It makes a point. Well, it was just a random question. Kristen, if you could bring back to Germany something from here, from Spain, what would it be?
Tinto de verano.
Tinto de verano. I knew it was going to be food or something to drink. I mean, it was totally clear. It's totally clear. Bueno, pues Christine nos ha contado, pues ha dicho que se llevaría de aquí de España, se llevaría el tinto de verano, que allí no hay, y nos ha comentado sobre la cultura española, que nosotros vivimos la vida mucho más felices, que es verdad que nos cogemos nuestro tiempo al hacer las cosas, pero que se nos ve más alegres al vivir la vida. Vamos a preguntarle ahora sobre un tema actual, porque siempre quiero sacar de un tema actual para ver qué piensa la gente fuera de nuestro país sobre temas de noticias, temas actuales, cualquier tema que sea importante, ¿no? Temas humanos, temas económicos, temas políticos. Y entonces le voy a preguntar ahora a Christine sobre los refugiados sirios y sobre este tema actual que pues nos ha estado afectando durante los últimos meses.
La radio de la Universidad Miguel Hernández promueve una campaña de recogida de vinilos y cassettes.
Ponte en contacto con nosotros en el 965 22 2084 o mandando un correo a umhradio@umh.es. Recorriste sus caminos. Haz que vuelvan a sonar.
Ayúdanos a crecer. Contigo seremos más.
We are back with Kristen. Today, we wanted to speak about A very, very important issue, a very important subject that we're hearing and watching on the news the last couple of months. Due to the Syrian war, many refugees have fled to the center of Europe, looking for a brighter and better future. Now, Kristen, what is your opinion on the matter? How can we help these people? What is there to do?
That's a difficult question for me. Yeah, obviously those people need a new home, so we should offer them one and welcome them. But it's difficult because there are so many, there are really so many coming at the moment, and to integrate them into the society will take its while, and it's especially different as they have different backgrounds. Some have education, some have none at all, so getting them into the work field, it's really hard. And even those who have like a doctor degree or so, they can't really work straight away in Germany because you have to have like acknowledge them, and that's really problematic. So yeah, but yeah, it's difficult.
How is Germany doing anything to help them? Just by accepting them, or is Germany trying to integrate them in German society?
I think that's not like a question for Germany and it's in the total. Mm-hmm. It's more like the communities who do that. For example, at my old university, we have a refugee camp, and it should only be till the semester start. But there are so many coming.
Don't worry, so many people,
that it actually is now even bigger than before. So the school next door is a refugee camp as well now. And the students do a lot to integrate them. They have like a room where refugees can use tablets and PCs to communicate with their families back home. And they do a lot with the kids to entertain them so they don't get bored, because there are a lot of people living close to each other.
And that's in the proper university over there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really there.
That's in our sport department.
But they live there?
Yeah, they live there.
How do they live? I mean,
I mean, there were the Red Cross and other volunteers working for 3 days, building like
shelters and
in the building with beds, food, like toilets, and everything needed to be there for them. But yeah, but actually, people in Germany shouldn't live like that in sport camps or in tents. Especially as now the winter is coming up.
Obviously, yeah. So that was my next question. How?
Yeah.
I mean, is it going to be forever like that? No, I suppose that there has to be some options.
It's just like a camp for them to be there like a month or so, and
so
then
provisional camps.
Getting somewhere else. Either way, they live in proper homes.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for example, like we have hostels for youth hostels.
Youth hostels, yeah.
And they're closing now, so they're getting refugees as well, because there are no youth traveling around Germany. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they are now refugee camps as well.
Wow, so in your proper university, they're having right now a refugees camp installed, provisional installed. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah,
and how are they going to let's say, pass the winter?
I mean,
do you think they're over there, the provisional camp can stay itself during the winter?
This one is actually fine because it's indoor. It's not a tent.
That's true. It's indoors. But it's still cold in Germany. I live there. I mean, it's cold even indoors.
Yeah, but we have a heating.
Oh, yeah. That's,
that's a difference.
We have that here, too. We are not.
I don't have that in my flat. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, they're trying to, but it's just for now, and then they'll try to get new buildings.
Obviously. So, country-wise, is Germany able to take care of so many people?
That's actually a good question as well, because people in Germany are like split in two. Some of them say, okay, we can handle that, we have to help them, they are like poor and they need to get away from whatever. And the other half is like, they're too many and they will just cost us. So especially in the east of Germany, it's kind of problematic. I don't know if you heard about Pegida.
No, what it does? Tell me, please, I want to know.
That's a movement, especially in Dresden, which is a city in East Germany, and they're against Muslims, basically. But it's not like they are proper Nazis or neo-Nazis. It's more like they play with the angst of like German
people. The fear of German people.
Yeah, angst is an English word as well. You know that?
Yeah.
Although it's German.
Although it's German, you learn things every day. Okay.
Never mind. So they play with the angst of German people that they are afraid not to have enough money or they will take the culture over.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of, we call them worried citizens, who follow those people. But actually, to be honest, they're Nazis for us.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they had a demonstration and one of the speakers said, unfortunately, we don't have the KZ camps anymore.
Oh, dear. That sounds hard. So it is a problem. So thank you very much for your opinion. I think it is very important to hear other people's opinion about this and the experience that they can have on the matter, obviously. Now, Kristen, I know I've told you that we were doing the whole show in English, but I'm gonna need, and I'm really sure you do have an interest in learning Spanish, so we're gonna change the language really quick, the last couple of minutes. Vamos a cambiar un poquito el idioma, a ver si Kristen nos puede hacer una buena presentación en español, porque estoy seguro que también tiene muchísimo interés en integrarse en la cultura española y aprender el idioma, que para eso también creo que ha venido aquí. So I'm sure we're gonna be delighted by a very quick introduction of yourself. We want to feel comfortable in our language, so please come on. I know you can.
Introduction of myself.
Introduction of yourself.
Hola, soy Christine, soy 25 años y soy de Alemania. Yo estudio periodismo y comunicación audiovisual en Elche.
What would you say to students that just started here at the university?
En español también.
Oh, sí, por favor, sí, por favor. ¿Qué les dirías a los que acaban de empezar la universidad aquí?
Aprende más español.
Ah, que aprendan
es
más.
Mejor.
Ah, vale. Para los Erasmus que aprendan más español y para los demás que aprendan inglés, supongo.
Sí.
Muy bien. So, ladies and gentlemen, this was Kristen's story. Thank you very, very much for being here in Elche, and I hope you enjoy your stay here.
I will, for sure.
You will, for sure. Ok, pues bueno, nos acabamos de despedir de Kristen, que nos ha estado antes comentando sobre el tema de los refugiados, y súper interesante porque realmente en su universidad hay un campo ahora mismo de refugiados provisional que tienen ahí montado en un pabellón de deporte, y bueno, la Cruz Roja les está dando alimentos, se han preparado camas, etcétera, y el problema que tenían básicamente era que no sabían cómo hacer para que aquello, deje de ser provisional. Obviamente el problema es que dices, bueno, pero les podemos mantener aquí, pero luego ¿qué hacemos con ellos? No, esa es la gran pregunta, y ha estado comentando también sobre un problema que hay en el este con un grupo que es muy radical en contra de los refugiados que intentan buscar un futuro mejor simplemente aquí en Europa, no solamente en Alemania, sino también en Francia, también hemos oído las historias en España, y esta opinión me pareció muy importante porque es una persona que está afuera, que ha vivido otra cosa, ha vivido en otro país y lo ha vivido con otros ojos, ¿no? Y eso es precioso realmente. I hope you agree with me that there's so much to learn about the different cultures, and this just by listening to students from all around the globe. Thank you for being here today with us, and don't miss the next episode of No Boundaries. I am Javier de Santes. Have a very, very nice day, and you will hear from me very soon. Goodbye. I'd love to believe it was all about love for a child.
¿Tienes una idea innovadora, pero no sabes cómo ponerla en marcha? Esta es tu oportunidad. Apúntate a la quinta maratón de creación de empresas de la Universidad Miguel Hernández de Elche antes del 5 de noviembre. La NAU de la Innovación te ofrece la formación, el asesoramiento y la financiación que necesitas. Los proyectos más innovadores se repartirán los 60.000 euros de premio con los que impulsar sus negocios. Y si tu idea innova en el sector de la piedra natural o genera riqueza en la zona de Novelda, este año la Fundación Levantina te premia con hasta 11.000 euros. Si quieres emprender o necesitas ayuda para lanzar tu proyecto, apúntate antes del 5 de noviembre en la web www.maratonempresasumh.com. Y si tienes dudas, escríbenos a info@naudelainnovacio.com. Este es tu momento. Si tus ideas no son convencionales, te esperamos en la Maratón de Creación de Empresas UMH.